This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about the penultimate episode, we're almost there, of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 6. Now, of course, we have our fabulous panel here for you today. First, let me bring in a man who I can't wait to hear his takes on this. It is Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
I am fantastic. It's so refreshing to be so close to the end and like know that you're close to the end, as opposed to like season 13 where there were like 10,000 penultimate episodes. But yeah, this time we know this is it. We're at the end.
Exactly. We got the classic, who are you rooting for, America? Are you, you know, Team Akira or Team Raja? I was like, who's in the finale? Like, I, you know.
Team Akira.
Team Akira. Yeah, yes. Bring back her.
I love that she wasn't even in the, like, lip-sync battles. Like,
that's why I remember. Like, she is gone. Except they're using her in the promos on, like, Paramount Plus or whatever. But, okay, neither here nor there. And you just heard her wonderful voice. It is, of course, Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing well. I spent a week up at the campus that I work at and then back down in New York City and ready to critique this episode with the utmost respect. No, I'm just, I don't know what I was going with that, but I'm excited to talk about it.
Like, it's been a long road. Okay. We're all tired.
I'm tired. You know,
give us some slack or whatever that slang is. All right, fine, whatever. All right. First things first, we got to talk about the ending, essentially, of last week's episode, which was the winner of the Silky versus Eureka lip sync. And I have to say, Aman, I was okay when they ended it last week with the, like, cliffhanger, but it felt so awkward at the beginning of this episode because they wanted this, like, heartfelt, oh, and Silky did so well. But that was last week. I'm like, I was already emotionally over this. So it felt like you're trying to wrap up a story that's been done for a week.
Yeah, it did feel very stinted. And the fact that, like, they like revealed to us who won before they showed the rest of the queens, I felt like the suspense factor was kind of gone from that. I would have much rather they just say, excuse me, like cut away from that again and then make us wait even longer and then have the, you know, the original final four come together in the workroom. And then RuPaul's like, well, somebody's coming back. And then we find out who's coming back. Yeah. I feel like that would have been like better to like find out with the rest of the girls. But you know, I agree. I said it last week that I was glad we got a cliffhanger because I knew Silky was probably not going to win and I just wanted time to get over it. But that's my own damn problem. You know, it's a storytelling wise. It kind of felt kind of, awkward.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have done a cliffhanger, to be perfectly honest. Like, just tell us who wins last week. And even if you don't show the queens, the audience knows. And then we can see what's happening in the beginning of this episode. I just kind of felt like it turned into a situation where we were like, well, it's either going to be Eureka, who honestly questions are whether she really should have left last week anyway. So the audience is kind of on her side anyway. And then Silky, we're like, the audience is on your side too. So it's just like, it ended up being a situation where we were like, oh, you know, it'd be great to have either one of them. Like, it, no one like really had, like, we were not that emotionally invested, I think.
That's the thing, is that I think the story from the storytelling perspective is like, last week was like, is Silky going to make it? Oh, is she going to do the next one? Oh, is she going to beat Jan? Oh, is she going to beat Pandora? Oh my God, she's up against the final boss. And then, like, that like climax never really like truly was able to be resolved. And then they tried to resolve it in the editing package at the beginning of this episode. It just felt very awkward to me. I was like, not the biggest fan of the way that they did it. But, you know, again, get the cliffhanger part of it. It was just that then the resolution in this week just like felt awkward, but whatever. Yeah. It was like Silky died. It was like in honor of like, Dr. Reverend Silky Nutmeg Ganache. That was like in memorandum when she did so great last week.
Do you guys feel like there should have been a double Shantae? And just to really piss off the final four queens.
I mean.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
I would have liked for it to happen only because Silky did so well. I mean, mm-hmm. she made Drag Race history. Like, that was so good what she did. And it does feel so wrong for it to just all end on a technicality. Because mm-hmm. I feel like if she chose a different outfit, if she chose a different story to tell, then maybe she wins again because she has so much momentum behind her. So it feels mm-hmm. so strange to say goodbye after that. I mean, like, Barbie girl, come on. Like, they're going to be talking about that for ages. And it just yeah. feels weird that she didn't get back just based off of that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I wouldn't have minded it. I mean, I guess it would have been a little... I mean, if I'm in the final four, I'd be pissed. But, I mean, that's the name of the game. It's a game yeah. within a game. So what are you going to do, you know?
I think for me, it's one of those things that would have felt really satisfying in the moment. Like, yes. And then, oh, my God, both of them are back in. And then how do I compare? Like, I get that Silky went through all those lip syncs, but how do you compare that to the maxi challenges? And I know she mm-hmm. even said that. She was like, I'm treating these like maxi challenges. Like, okay, well, you know, do you think ultimately, like, the judges are going to treat that the same way and that they're going to give Silky... It just feels like they might be setting up for her up for another failure or something ultimately. So I don't know.
I think if they did a double Shantae, they would have had to do a double sachet in this last mm-hmm. episode and make mm-hmm. it be like two of you are coming back, but two of you are going home. And I just think like,
oh my God. But then what if it was like two of the queens that were there?
And then I know.
You say, how wild would that have been?
This season, we've been talking about it, has had a severe lack of drama. So, like, what if this is the drama that they needed in order to, like, you know.
Yeah. Come on, production.
Come on, production-infused drama.
Make it a mess. Okay. Make it a mess. Well, we learned that Eureka comes back in, of course. And I think we discussed that last week, that I think we all kind of felt that that was ultimately where we were going to go. So Eureka mm-hmm. comes back in, and it's like last week never even happened.
Yeah.
We're right back where we started. But we do get a mini challenge here with the Pride photo op. Sponsored by Levi's. I don't know if I mentioned that, but it was sponsored by Levi's. Okay. The Pride collection at Levi's. All right.
Which I didn't do any research into this and uh-huh. I'm, but do Levi's give 365 days out of the year to LGBTQ organizations? Or is this just like, we're going to ride on the capitalism pride train? Cause I am one of those people that's like, listen, I'd much rather support pride collections of companies that actually go out of their way to have equality in their mission statements and in their employment and are donating all the times out of the year, not just that one particular time of year. And it would have been like right on par, I feel like, for production to be like, let's get Levi's. They don't care about, you know, gay people any other time of year, but let's do it now. Like, I feel like that's just on par. So I don't know if people have looked into that or not. I haven't, but I had that thought where I was like, ooh, I hope Levi's is LGBTQIA2+, like, like focus, but I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Judging off of the VH1-ness of it all, I'd probably say not, but
right.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at their website if there's anything. It's like specifically the 2021 Pride collection. For some reason, the date like makes me feel like it's very targeted. You know what I mean? Okay, let's check out. Let's see. They have our values. Okay. We've always stood up for what's right.
Okay.
We had the courage to reject racial segregation. Oh, the courage.
Oh,
courage.
Wow. Okay.
Courage. I like that it's courage and not like the basic so it was human decency.
It was a struggle at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We had the basic human decency to do the right thing by other people is like what they should have just said. We set zero bars because there's no bar lower than just basic human decency.
I can't find anything in their mission statement. There's a little bit about how we can all fight climate change.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, okay.
All right. Well, all you right, know.
So I'm going to go with no on that.
Just like on par for production, but also like on par, like you said, I'm on for like VH1-ness. Yeah. So yeah. I totally get
it. It's very fitting. Let's see. So yeah, I didn't really have any like major thoughts. It was, you know, it was fine. It was funny. Eureka with her butt out made me laugh. My mom said, because my mom watched the episode with me, she was like, oh, Sonic looks so good. So that was my mom. I was like, I agree. Thank you. And then, you know, she ended up winning. And my mom was like, I told you. And I was like, no, it's fine. also, my mom wanted me to tell you guys that Rue's suit, the Klein Epstein Parker suit, the like white with the like sort of floral-y like kind of bird thing. My mom had a shower curtain made of the same material. And I was like, I know you don't intend this as shade, but this is very shady.
Oh my God.
Bring your mom her ready to the reading challenge.
Like, okay, mom. Yeah, great.
I can't wait to see, like, you know, honestly, Liana's mom versus like Ginger Minj. Let's see who could read better. It's not gonna be Ginger.
Oh my God. My mom, but like, my mom would be so she's like unintentional about it.
Yeah.
So we're doing this game for the B&B, spoiler alert, but I'm gonna tell you guys because B&B will be recorded first. Anyway, sorry if this is out of order. If you're listening, whatever, I don't care anymore. So I asked my mom what she thought of all the Big Brother contestants. And for Alyssa, she was like, oh, Alyssa will steal your boyfriend or girlfriend, but then they'll find out that she's actually an airhead. That was her only description of Alyssa. Okay. I love that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so perfect. Okay. Enough of that. Let's talk about Drag Race. The main challenge. Okay, so the main challenge this week, Maxi Challenge, we talked about this last week, but it is the Charisma, Uniqueness, Nerve, and Talent Monologues, and it seems like they're going to be judged on their ability to tell a story. So, you know, we get the, you know, the workroom, them talking a little bit about it, then there's the coaching session, and then to be honest, we kind of like go right into everything with their performances. So before we get into the individual performances, I think, Aman, what did you like or dislike overall about this challenge?
I mean, I don't know. I guess
as our resident actor of the group.
I guess for me, I just sort of, we're talking about the mini challenge, right? Or the you mean the
maxi
the main
challenge,
one.
Maxi the max challenge. Yeah.
I guess for me, I just, it's kind of like, if you don't have like good inspiring things that have happened to you in your life, I guess, quote unquote, then you sort of are at a disadvantage. And on the flip side to that, I feel like a lot of the stories that we heard were sort of the same, which is not inherently bad because a lot of LGBT folks have similar experiences growing up. But at some point, it kind of did feel a little like who has the best sob story and who can explain it the best. And I'm like, I don't necessarily like the trauma porn of it all. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But, you know, it's still real to them and it's still, you know, a valid experience. So I definitely still got emotional listening to some of them. But there was a piece of me that was like, I kind of wish that we could just do something a little bit more lighthearted. But, you know, it is what it is. Whatever. I'm nitpicking.
No, I'm totally with you, Aman. I feel like this is now what we had the pink table discussions. We have this. Like, I mean, we've had multiple times where it's like this season has turned into RuPaul's like trauma race. Like, who can explain it the best? Like, I wouldn't have necessarily, I think this is a really cool challenge. I actually really do. I just don't think it made sense in the context of this season when we've already had challenges that required like queens to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And we got more stories out of them too, like prior, like when it was more of a conversation. So like, why take away the conversation piece and just make it into like a speaking contest essentially? I don't know. I really like this challenge. I love the vagina monologues. I like, in my high school, we did speaking competitions, like Dean Oratoricals, what they were called. And, I placed both years that I did it. No big deal. And one time, like it literally was like a Steve Martin chapter out of his book where it was like side effects for a drug, but it was like 4 pages. And I was just pretending I was reading them off a bottle or whatever, which like, so they don't have to be like trauma filled or whatever. But they do have to have this kind of like natural speaking pace to it. I don't know. Like, I just kind of generally felt like great challenge, but maybe not for all stars and maybe not for this particular season where you've already had like the vulnerability factor in a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are all fair. I co-sign with the trauma porn kind of it all. Not that this wasn't emotional. It was nice to hear the stories, and I really did appreciate the queens sharing. I think, you know, part of turning to Drag Race is for like the silly, goofy fun of it all. So I kind of wish like more stories had leaned towards that. But honestly, like I thought this was really fun. I thought all the queens did so amazing. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed because I also did like dramatic interpretation, like speech interpretation, like speech and debate kind of stuff. Like Beth, like what you're talking about. Yeah. And this was giving me that. Like this was very that. Very mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
And it is a unique set of skills. And I think that the queens are capable to do it because they're in front of a microphone so often. So this is a skill that is like also reflective of what you might do outside. It's tweaked a bit for Drag Race, but at least it's like sort of similar. So overall, yeah, I think I enjoyed it. You know, the outcome was a little tough. We'll talk about that. Yeah. And a little heartbreaking, but
yeah.
This was definitely, I think, this challenge, because there was only like one queen who like noticeably messed up, but then like nailed the rest of her monologue or her story, whatever we're going to call it. I just feel like this now was overproduced in terms of like the competition. Like that's what this ended up being.
Yeah.
And that's why I kind of feel like this would have been a better challenge in a regular season where there's a lip sync for your life rather than for, because make RuPaul choose who are the bottom two, honestly, out of this situation. Like I wanted that drama, not, oh, you're not in the, if you're not the top person, then you're all in the bottom. Like, honestly, that's kind of a cop out with a challenge like this, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. This, I think that's another part of it, is that this specific challenge feels a very strange choice to determine the final four.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, especially witnessing a bunch of lip syncs in a row last time, like, it just feels like, I don't know. This challenge, like, why can't it be
it
like
the energy down? Like, last episode was like, boom, 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 boom. And then this one was just like, all right, guys, we're going to take this down and let's everyone snap and get ready for a little story time.
Talk about being gay. Talk about being trans. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Come on down to the LGBT.
Oh, you shit yourself? We want to know about it. Tell us.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And it felt very... This is totally my own reading into it, but I was like, I feel very attacked. It felt very personal. I was like, no, don't, you can't, not now. So I don't know. I mean, look, I think ultimately, like, yeah, it was fine, but would I have preferred a ball or a design challenge? Yes, I would have, especially going into the final four. So, because what did we have? Not last week. What was the week before? The first 5-4 challenge. Anybody remember?
It was the drag tots.
Mm. Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, so that fits. That's like a design challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feels a little bit better towards. Yeah, like I understand that. This felt, I don't know. I just, what? Oh, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it when we get to Trinity. I'm just like,
all right, good. Like,
Let's make sure that right before the final episode, we make everyone stop and think rather
than cry and feel bamboozled.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's get into it all. Our first queen, Trinity K. Bonet. Iman, you have thoughts, you have feelings. Please kick us off.
I enjoyed her story. I felt like the way that it was produced and edited clearly wanted the audience to feel like it was in the bottom, because they weren't showing a lot of reactions from the judges. It was a lot of silence. And so like a few of her, you know, punchlines and payoffs had a couple of claps and giggles. But I thought that objectively, I don't think that it was, you know, any better or worse than some of the other stories. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if it felt like, I don't know. I really sympathize with Trinity here, because it just feels like, okay, if I don't win, then I'm going to be the one that's out because y'all are going to vote based off how we've been voting this entire time. So I have to win. And if I don't win, then it's out. And so like, they pretty much told us who was going home at the beginning of the episode. And so I'm like, I don't know. But I don't think the story was bad. I enjoyed it. I thought that it was sweet and endearing. The fact that she, you know, got catfished and she was able to have like a very positive experience out of it. I mean, that's certainly never, I can't imagine that happening to me. If I ever get catfished, like I'm leaving the restaurant. Like it's not, there's no like, you know, come together Jesus moment for me. Like I'm out of there. So, I enjoyed the story. I thought it was nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. I think one of my issues with this entire challenge is that I'm having a hard time delineating in my memory whose story was what, because there were so many similar aspects to things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that that's probably why I don't know. Like, I remember that she, you know, she got bamboozled. I mean, she got catfish, that kind of thing. But I just kind of just generally felt like it was repeat trauma hour. I don't know. It was hard to just delineate. I thought that she did fine. She spoke great. She had more confidence in this kind of thing than she did in season 6 or even earlier in the season.
Yeah, there was no.
Actually, let's be honest. The person who had the was Raja this time. Yes. That, I was, oh my God.
No, that not the karma. Leghorn, no.
That was karma. But yeah. I think that, first of all, I just want to take a moment and appreciate how friggin' beautiful she looked, though, when she was speaking. Like, I love this wig. I loved the pay attention to what she says because she looks so nice. Like, that's just literally where I was at. In terms of like her runway look, did it fulfill the assignment? I guess technically, yes. But I felt like that was likely one of the weaker ones because you had to wait until she turned to left the runway to see the reveal. Yeah. I wish that there were more aspects of her dress that needed those like huge safety pins. Like maybe you had them in the front as well, all over the place.
Maybe the sleeves are falling off.
Yeah, like the hem at the bottom. Like maybe there's something that's like looser on the bottom. Like it actually just made it look like it's a completely fine outfit. Except for these 5 different.
It looks like something that she would normally wear, but she just put safety pins on it.
Yeah, instead of like putting on a corset. Like, I don't know. Like and that's me being very, very, very technical. I really feel like this was like a self-produced like ending to her story, where she basically came in and said, "Y'all are going to send me home if I don't win, or if Eureka wins, I'm getting sent home." Like that's literally what she said. Otherwise, it was, we're going to turn around and send Eureka home if she doesn't win. So, like,
yeah,
it's self-fulfilling prophecy at that point, too.
Yeah, so I think, okay, so I want to go back, Beth, to something that you said a little bit earlier, which was the fact that, you know, this was a little bit like repeat trauma hour. I think for me, in general, I agree. The one thing that saves it for me, though, is the fact that they all tried to end their stories with some type of positive. And this is what I learned from this. And this is like my positive takeaway. And this is how we had a, you know, positive impact. And so I think that that really kind of saved it, that they're, you know, okay, it's a little bit like, and this is the moral of the story, but I felt that it worked all right for this.
Chicken soup like for the drag queen soul.
Oh my God, that's really what it was. I mean. So I think that element kind of helped a little bit. And in terms of the self-fulfilling prophecy thing, I wanted her to just shut up. I was like, shut up. Just stop talking. Stop bringing it up. Because you could say, well, Kylie's only got one win, right? Like, how do you actually do the math here? Because Kylie was in the bottom last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago, whatever. And she only has one win. And so maybe you have one more time in the bottom. But overall.
And also, Eureka still got sent home. Like, she got eliminated.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. She was literally eliminated. And I just ultimately, of course, like Eureka ends up winning and isn't eligible to go home. But still, it definitely felt like this self-fulfilling prophecy. And I just, my heart really went out to her. I appreciate the fact that Trinity is someone who is really in tune with her emotions, who can express them in a way that is like, I think, healthy without letting things build up. She communicates with people. And I think that there's a lot of inspiration to be taken from that. At the same time, because she does feel, it sometimes can get in the way a little bit, right? And I think
is she a Pisces? I need to.
I would believe it.
Are you about to slander us? Are you about to come?
No, not at all. Because I actually really love Pisces, but I think that one of the issues is that that's like a self-sabotaging thing that I've noticed in a lot of my Pisces friends, is that there's like this self-sabotaging, bringing on the emotions, like versus like I'm going to get like a little astrological here, but like versus like Cancers, who tend to be like, because there's a lot of similarities with Pisces and Cancers, but I feel like Cancers are more like, I'm taking on the emotions of everybody else, blah, 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 and Pisces are more like, I'm like self-sabotaging myself with emotions and like throwing them out there, and then everybody else will see that. If that makes more sense, I don't know. Like, she just gives me that energy.
Well, she's
Aquarius, so.
Okay.
Sorry.
She's close enough.
She's right next door.
She might be on the cusp. Yeah.
Is she a cusp? Yeah.
It did really feel that way to me as well. I feel like is this one of those things where she just knows that production wants Eureka in the top? Like, it kind of feels like that to me. It felt like she knew what the writing on the wall was, and you know, one of those moments again where I sort of like call the legitimacy of the competition into question, because why do you have one of your, this is Trinity K. Bonet, and even she is like, oh, y'all want Eureka, that's what you're saying, that's what this is about, and it feels very much that. But I don't know, like, I mean, in production's defense though, like, Silky had all of the ammo to win here. Like, Silky could have won. Like, if she had not chose that outfit, Silky would be sitting right there, and you wouldn't be able to make that same argument that it's the Eureka-ness of it all. Like, Eureka just happened to be there for a bad day.
I feel like Silky would have won this challenge.
Yeah, that's like my other thought, is like, it's set up for one of the two of them. I don't know.
I just,
conspiracy theory of it all.
I kind of generally feel like Trinity, if you're having these thoughts and you're putting it out there, what I guess she can't stop. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's a moment where, like, if you're the other queens in the competition, all you're doing is like being like, I'm helpless. Vote me out. Like, I'm not going to win the crown because I think that you guys are going to vote me home because there's a reason for it. Like, nobody might be thinking that until you put it in their heads. Like, and I'm not saying that is the case, but it, like, on some maybe level, like, that probably was a definitive factor in people's thought process. Because I would even though I'm sure nobody would ever say this out loud, especially on this season, because they're so kumbaya, like, I would also look at some of the legitimacy of some of these wins. Like, I love Sonique. I love Kylie. Do we really think she should have won that acting challenge? Hell no, in my opinion. that was very questionable. Do we think Ginger should have won the pink table thing, and maybe Eureka should have, and like that wasn't taken into consideration like last week? So like, there's like so many different things that people are probably thinking without being able to say them out loud because they're self-editing and self-producing. So like, don't give them the ammo in order to be like, well, she said it out loud, so therefore we can just like get rid of her. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's very much the case, right? It's the, you sort of will it into fruition and you're, you know, sort of making it happen. Right. But look, I thought she did fantastic.
I
get the comment that the timing was a little off in terms of her performance, but especially the way the editing made it seem, I was like, oh my God, it's going to be terrible. She's going to do horrible. It was a good story. I liked it. I thought she did a great job putting it together. She looked fabulous. For me, I thought she really knocked it out of the park here. So I can't, but I just, you know, you feel the editing. You're like, oh, the critiques are coming. Like, even though I think maybe she didn't do the worst, the critiques were there. So, and then in general, I have a general thought before we move on about this freaking runway. The oops, I did it again. Fashionable fashion fail. I hated this category.
It's so stupid.
It was so dumb. I didn't even, that's why, to be honest, I was like, oh, you know what? I should put all the performances together and the runways together separately. And I was like, I thought this runway was stupid and I'm in charge.
I thought it was going to be a Britney runway.
Me, I'm like,
why are you saying, oops, I did it again?
I was so bad when it wasn't.
Oh, the red herring of this situation was like, oops, I did it again. We're like, oh, Brittany. And they're like, fashionable fashion errors. And we're like, what does that even fucking mean? And why is it, oops, I did it again? Is it something that they did before that was a fashion error that they have to redeem?
Yeah.
It's another redemption runway.
Right.
There's so many question marks about this. And I just was like, okay, collect.
I would have much rather it just be oops, I did it again and make it Brittany, or just make it fashionable faux pas and just have them, you know, do something like this where you're doing like making something that's traditionally ugly and making it fashion.
Yeah.
Like, there we go.
Agreed.
It was so stupid.
I was so mad the whole time. So I didn't even like, whatever. It's so dumb. Cause yeah, because then I thought it was going to be the one that like you guys mentioned that was the, oh, I screwed it up the first time. Let me like redo it. And
which
do
they
it
already did that. Already, so
it, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Fine, I don't know. Whatever. It was a whole moment.
Yeah. Yeah. She looks gorgeous, but I agree. It's subtle. Fine. Whatever. I don't care. I like the gloves. Okay. Next up, Kylie Sonique Love, who talks about first time is the name of her lol charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent monologue. And I think to me, Beth, this was one of the interesting choices that she made. And the judges talked about this, but the whole, like, I'm going to sit for a while, hunched over and lean into the microphone.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do this right now.
Okay, very much
If anybody watches the video and they see us doing this, like, that immediately draws me out. Like, I'm not as engaged because of that. Like, I want to see people who are like excited about what they're talking about. And like, yeah. Hi guys, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my first time in drag. It's just like, I was expecting like a bass in the background to go, dum, 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 dum. Like, I don't know. Just like someone with like bongos, like ready to go. Yeah. I don't know if I liked this choice for her. I liked her story. I liked how she told it too. Obviously she looks gorgeous. Cause like, when has she never looked gorgeous? I didn't think that she did any worse or better than anybody else. I felt like it was a solid job. It was just like an interesting choice to sit down, especially because she had put so much body glitter on that. I was like, why are you like hunched over and not like really shining? Like, if there had been a choice where like halfway through she stood up to like represent the change in like before and after her first time in drag, like, cool, that would have been a choice that like I would have gotten behind. Like this, like, I was kind of closed off from the world, and then this transformation, and she stands up and she grabs the mic and she's owning the stage. Like, that would have been something that's subtle but like goes along with the story, but she didn't do that. So I just kind of, it was a weird choice for me.
I don't mind that she did that.
Didn't she stand up eventually?
I'm
gonna look.
I can't remember if she did. I think she might have stood up like maybe once or twice. I can't remember. But I didn't mind the fact that she sat down. I kind of tend to agree with, I think it was Ross, or was it Ross, or was it whoever said, I think it was Carson, actually. Ross wasn't here. That he sort of enjoyed the fact that it was a very more like grounded telling of the story, because then it did sort of like make you just focus in on her and focus on the words that are coming out of her mouth more so than the performance of them. And so like, I know that I started off this episode talking about how I didn't necessarily like the challenge. With that being said, I still think that, yeah, sure, maybe you can make the argument that Kylie sort of did have a very shining performance because of the fact that it was such an intimate experience. And I did enjoy the story through the trauma pornness of it all. It did sort of make me emotional to hear her talk about how she was finally validated one night after going through so much self-examination of, oh my goodness, I'm too feminine, I'm too this, I'm too that. And to just go someplace where you can finally feel, oh my God, yay. You know? So I related to that, and I felt it, even though I felt like I was being played by production, because like, you want me to have this reaction right now. Like, it's just,
yeah.
But I think that she did a good job here. I do. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if Eureka were not there, actually, so, you know what? No, I feel like she could have beat that. I feel like she could have won. I feel like this would have been a much more valid win to me than the other one. Then I'm dying.
Like, yeah, I totally agree. Like, I really feel like I didn't, I'll say it now, spoiler alert, I didn't feel like Eureka should have won this challenge. I felt like Ginger or Sonique should have won this challenge. Like, based off of the story, the way that they told it, that kind of thing. The one thing that, I was just being hypercritical about the one thing that I felt like, as I remember it. Now, Leanne, I don't know, did you look it up? Did she stand up?
And so she stands up at one point and then she sits back down. And so it kind of goes with a little bit of the climax of the story. So I think that that was the goal, right? Gotcha. Was to match the body positioning. To me, she just looks off. I mean, she's nervous. And I remember seeing her hand shaking, like she's nervous, understandable, totally normal. But I feel like that sort of timidness, I mean, that was obviously a stylistic choice. And so I think it definitely fits. It's not like my favorite, but I, you know, I think it works with what she was trying to go for. I think I just would have preferred a little bit more. Less hunched, a little bit more open. Like, you can still sit and then have the thing. I just, to me, like, yes, I get that it's intimate and it does, I guess, kind of pull you in. But for me, I prefer the, and this is a stylistic thing of like, I just prefer a little bit more like shoulders up, broad, flat, whatever.
I agree.
Okay. And then, her runway look, the corn, which, by the way, like the interconnectivity of the, this whole thing with her being the corn dog, sales girl, I guess. I don't know what to call it, covered in mustard and ketchup stains, but the corn dog up her punani, I thought that was very cute.
Yeah, but multiple times. I didn't expect her to still have it on the stage, and then like, hello, I was like, oh,
it's like, how many corn dogs do you have?
And if that's the same one, girl, throw that shit away.
I think she took a bite out of it.
Well, you know what? Good for her.
Okay. Next up is Ginger with My Ruby Slippers. And so, you know, this is a performance, Beth. I think you said that she could have won, right? So why did you feel so positive about this?
I mean, this was a challenge that was meant for the Gingers of the world, which is tell a story, which is literally what she does. She's a great storyteller. She understands the pacing. I love that the, that Alex and, who was the other person, in the rehearsal? Or two of them. I can't remember.
So the two that did, So Alex Mappa and Jermaine Fowler, Fowler, who was on the Celebrity Secret Drag Race, whatever that, it was called,
like nobody watched. It was so secret that it hid from the ratings because nobody knows. I felt like I really liked that they called her out and being like, don't make this so pageanty. Like, this is coming across as like you're trying to like give a pageant answer rather than tell a story in a genuine way. And I thought that she really took their criticism and applied it really well. I still felt like there were moments where I was like, this is Ginger putting on a story, but I still felt like the pacing was better than anybody else's. The way in which she like had dynamics in her speaking, it was just, I felt like it was all around the best. The little like clinking of the shoes at the end, like she had a way of making everything intentional, and it was really good. I also think what I liked about this one is that it wasn't taking something that was traumatic. It was taking something that was like a big, bright, shining thing from her childhood as like, this is what helped lead me to success. Like, instead of being like, my parents disowned me for liking feminine things, it was like my mother like supported me by giving me my, you know, these really gaudy, awful ruby slippers, but they were the most beautiful things in the world to me. Like, that's what I thought was really what I loved about this, is that it was taking something that so easily could have been a negative thing, but taking all the like wonderful positive things about it and moving forward. And that kind of stood out to me in comparison to the other queens. That's not saying that the other queen stories weren't good. I think that was stylistically a really interesting choice for this kind of, for this challenge. I felt like she just like on the whole, like it was objective to me that she just was the best speaker. I don't know. In terms of her look, like I didn't care for any of it. I was like, what the hell? I was like, this is like the penultimate episode and you have burns from a curling iron and on an ugly dress that would have been like Tracy Turnblad from like Hairspray would have worn this like as like a joke. Like, it's like her mom, it's whatever. What's Tracy's mom's name? It's that, like, John Travolta cross-dressing mom.
Yeah.
Harvey Firestein.
Very much that. Very much that. It's like, yeah, okay. Like the dress is ugly. And I thought she like revealed the burns, but then when I rewatched it, the burns were already there. And I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
That would have been something if she, well, just like fully burned herself on stage.
It was like, well, no. If it's like Velcroed on, Velcroed on, and then you peel it off, right? When you do, and you're like, I burned myself. Whatever. I don't know.
I got you. It would have been really funny though if she just like, I'm so committed to.
Like, oh, man. Yeah, you could smell the burning fabric. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's interesting because I kind of had a little bit of a, I always hate it when the judges are like, you're too polished. Oh my God, Rosé, you're such a consummate professional. You're too polished. But Aman, I kind of felt like it was too polished. I felt like she was performing. And that's why, especially that in contrast with Kylie's, I think maybe that's why you responded well to hers, was like, it felt a little bit more personal and a little bit more conversational, like what the judges were asking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it hit all the technical marks that you want to hit when you're telling a story. So, could it win an Emmy out of all of these performances? Probably. I do, like, especially with this season with Jan, like, I have had, a very bad reaction to that particular critique, but I do get it here because, part of the challenges part is called charisma, first and foremost. Charisma, yeah. Uniqueness, nerve, and talent. And charisma isn't polished. Charisma is sort of like an innate thing. It's something that draws people into you. And not to say that Ginger does not have that. I think that all of these drag queens have it because, hello. Mm-hmm. But I do think in the context of this challenge, yeah, it did feel a little rehearsed, I'm going to sit down. Like, story time, ladies and gentlemen, come on, like, gather around. It did feel a little bit like that. So I get it. And the outfit to me, it's okay. I mean, I guess it's a fact. There, I guess, like, burning yourself and then wearing it out is a fact. Like, it's kind of weird, but whatever. Like,
it's a weird choice.
It's a little,
it's like, what's happening here?
Like, where is the error here? Like, that just seems like an emergency room. Like, you need to go to the hospital.
You need to go to the doctors. Okay. Let's talk next about Raja, whose story, Bunny Tail, is about her becoming untucked at a performance. Beth, how do you feel about Raja's?
Well, besides the obvious stumble in the very beginning, which nobody else had a stumble, so that is something to take into consideration, but I do feel like she was able to recover well and then nail the rest of her story. I audibly laughed out loud a couple of times when she was talking about, her bunny tail and things popping out and de-dragging on stage by accident. I mean, I loved how she got into like the pacing of it eventually. It just kind of felt like it took her a little longer to settle in, which at this, it's so funny to me that like literally nobody considered that after the fact. Like, it was like, oh, I guess we're sending Trinity home. But I was like, if you're going to do things based off of challenges, unfortunately, this would be something to bring Raja's name up. But she's just so impressive this season. I don't think anybody ever thought of that as a real issue. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which I do think this goes back to like our discussion about Trinity. Like, clearly people didn't see her as a winner. Mm-hmm. So why bring her to the end? People are seeing Raja as a winner. They're seeing Ginger as a winner. They're seeing Kylie as a winner. That factor wasn't there with Trinity. I think it literally came down to who do we think is best to wear the crown at mm-hmm. the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think that despite Raja stumbling a little bit, she was able to save it and improve. And if anything, she had the best runway too, which was like, she has made everything that she brought. Like mm-hmm. the fact that she was able to say that and say that to the judges and such, like, right on. Like,
yeah, she made sure she got that in there. She's like, everything
good. I'm happy she did. I mean, we all know what like Ginger's strengths are. It's every single week we see it. We see the same kind of lip sync. We're going to see the same kind of like storytelling and acting and all that kind of stuff. And that's what makes Ginger great. What makes Raja great is that she's well-rounded in a variety of ways, that she has this wonderful redemption arc. And then on top of it, like, she's making every single thing that she has brought in addition to winning a design challenge. Like, I think that this is like something to absolutely take into consideration. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I think that she needs to advocate for herself, and I'm happy that she was doing it. And I think that that's in stark contrast with someone like Trinity, who was very much, you know, in her feels, understandably so, about feeling like, oh, I'm going to go home. And Raja's like, I made everything. I'm amazing. I'm good. I deserve
Give me my props.
Yeah. And that just kind of carrying that energy. I mean, yeah, it's so interesting because the queens are voting here, how like it's all about perception and how you're just coming across, because, you know, in the deliberation with Eureka, we didn't get to see, I don't think if we saw her conversation with Raja, but the conversation with the other ones was just like, okay, so who should I send home? You know, it was almost like an exception of, or accepting like, oh, this person is in the finals with me. Yeah. And I think through process of elimination, she just, you know, got to Trinity being the one to be eliminated. But anyway, I think Raja did a great job. I think I hate the category for the runway, but I agree. I think she executed it the best. And yeah, I was interested in her story. But if I had to put, I mean, I probably, if I had to pick a bottom two, she would probably be in the bottom two if I was picking.
Yeah.
Not that she deserved to go home, but like just everybody did so good. And unfortunately, Agreed. Those little things just make a difference. Okay.
I tend to really enjoy her runway outfit because it really did look when she came out as if it was something that was falling off of her because she wasn't fully dressed. Mm-hmm. And then she comes out and it's like a whole garment. I'm like, there it is. That we don't really understand the assignment this week that much, but you did.
You found that title and you said, I've done this before. I'm going to do it again. Oops, I did it again. My clothes fell off. You know what I also liked is that there were elements that are kind of like related to her story. And I know that that's like not what the assignment is or any given week, but I just kind of like that there was just like a theme of undressing or popping out that she had this week. And I thought it was kind of fun.
I'm surprised that like she has not been memed to the heavens this week with that mess up during the story. Cause I mean, I was scared that Raja might be in the bottom, but I must admit, I cackled when she stumbled. She was like, see, I I was like, yes, girl.
You what? It would have been just such poetic justice if they turned to a confessional and it was Trinity going, I. It would have been so amazing.
It's like when you forget J comes after I.
Yeah. In kindergarten when you're doing your ABCs. I. Oh, man. That's funny.
Oh, man.
Okay. Let's talk about our last contestant, of course, and that's Eureka doing a benefit for Boom Boom, which I did see some of the memes that were like, Down Under, well, I don't know if you guys got that far, but there was...
Like, I quit about halfway through.
Yeah, so. I know. There was a whole challenge where like piss was brought up and
yes.
RuPaul was like, that is far too crass. And then of course it's here. It's like RuPaul laughing at this. And then, so anyway, so that was the one meme.
That's because they didn't have a season of Eurekas. Like if they would have been all Eurekas, she would have been like, yes, bring on piss. Yes.
Like you weren't charismatic enough to carry the piss of it all. So anyway, but Beth, you said you don't think that she deserved to win. No. How did you feel about hers here?
I'm going to be honest. I thought it was funnier when she was describing it in rehearsal than like the actual execution. And I don't know if it's because the surprise factor was gone. Like, I don't know. I thought she looked great. I love that she had this Playboy bunny. Like, I'm a big girl Playboy bunny. And what? Like, I thought that was cool. I just generally felt like it was a solid story. It was fine. She told it fine. Her pacing was okay. Like, there was nothing inherently wrong with it other than like, I just didn't laugh at it. Mm-hmm. Like I laughed at like Raja's, for example. I don't know. It there was like a part of it that had a little bit of low energy for me. Mm. And I think what is interesting about this is that there were people who made that comment on Twitter and tagged Eureka, and Eureka had a response that was basically like, yeah, I was low energy. I was in the middle of a friggin' pandemic. In my depression, I'd just been sent home. Like there was a lot of different things happening here. Like, yeah, I'll 100% I'm low energy. And what? And I was like, you know what? Good for her for like calling people out on it. So like people like me who are now on a podcast being like, she's a little low energy. But like, I totally think that in comparison to the other people, like I just kind of looked back and was like, I connected more with Sonique and with Ginger's stories. And I felt like she should have probably been safe. Or like if they did a safe, they didn't. I don't know. But I think this was more of a makeup for like she should have won the challenge that Ginger won, and Ginger should have won this challenge maybe or whatever. Like in my mind, that's how I kind of feel. So I was like, at the end of the day, I don't care that much.
Yeah, well, Mon, where do you come down on this? Because RuPaul, unlike Beth, was laughing and laughing and just laughing.
I mean, and that is the name of the game, I guess. I mean, she she came in with a challenge and she was like, I need to win this. I know if I don't win this, then I'm going to go. So let me just go the funny route. Let me do the Eureka thing. And she did, you know, I mean, and it's kind of like hard to argue around it. I personally, like I said before, I would have much rather have seen maybe some like Sonique win, because I felt more connected with the story. But I guess there really wasn't. I mean, what were the words that came out of RuPaul's mouth when he said the challenge? You just said like you're going to tell us a story and
make it. I wrote down, you'll be judged on your ability to tell a story. And then my mom said something, so I just wrote down something. And I meant to go fill that in later, but I didn't. And then I wrote down the words, Jermaine Fowler. That's all I got. My mom watched the episode with me. So ability to tell a story. That's at least we know for sure was said.
And I mean, she certainly painted a picture. It did feel like I was there with her. Like I could see the imagery was strong. I mean, it's kind of hard not to have strong imagery when you're talking about shit. So I think that's probably the strongest route you can go. So, I mean, I get it. I understand why she won. I'm just like not as jazzed about it. But I mean, she did what she needed to do. She came in. She knew that she had to win or she was going home. And I think that, you know, it's certainly. Yeah, she did it.
Yeah, I think one thing that I really appreciated about Eureka is I do feel that the way that the story was constructed was, I thought the pacing was overall better than probably all the other queens, because I liked the way that she told the story really built up, and she took time to construct these little pieces that like built to the ultimate. And then I pooped myself. Like it all built up to that. And there was like, you know, you get this, like the foreshadowing of the gurgle, the repeats of that element of the story. And I felt like that the form, I think, for hers was really good. And I think that to me was probably what made hers stand out the most.
Yeah.
But that was to me. I mean, RuPaul clearly was just like laughing at the content, which for me was not as strong. It was fine. It was funny, you know. I think it's just, again, all these queens did so well. But when I compare Trinity's to Eureka's, Trinity is like, I think her story, I think ultimately I liked better, but just the pacing and the form was off, right? So
agreed.
It's almost like the opposite side of, you know, two sides of the same coin, whatever. Like one side is the form, one side is the actual story. I like the story better for Trinity's, but I thought the form for Eureka's went better. And in a forum and a medium that is storytelling as a format, I think then that takes precedent, like the form of it all. So,
yeah. And I think that's what's interesting is like, I completely agree. I think that I think the reason why I didn't connect as well with the story again was because we already knew what the story was.
Well,
like we knew what the other stories were, but like, I couldn't appreciate the pacing of it in the moment until I had to go back and think about it, because I was like, and then she shat herself. Okay, we get it. Like I already knew what the punchline was. So it wasn't going to be a surprise and funny. It wasn't going to reach the destination. Like it might with someone like RuPaul, who probably didn't know what the stories were ahead of time.
Right.
Or wasn't as involved. But you're right. That's why I think like the format, that's why I probably go more to like the Ginger and Sonique's of them all, because they had a little bit of both going on rather than being the best in one particular area. Yeah. I think like, again, if we're talking purely just like speaking competition, blah, 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 in a traditional sense, like I still think Ginger would have won. But like to your points, and I 100% agree with this, it comes across as like so meticulous and like checks off all the boxes that you don't connect with it as well, versus like Sonique, for me, you connected with it really well, but it didn't click off any, like, to the extent of like all the technical boxes. Like it clicks off some of the technical boxes. I'm not going to say that she had a horrible presentation. That's not it. But I think that that's probably why I choose to go to like the two that I think were more in the middle versus one that was better on either extreme.
That's fair. So Justin Simeon was our guest judge this week, which I thought was interesting because, you know, typically when we have, you know, someone who like does the coaching, sometimes they will end up as the guest judge. But in this case, it wasn't that. So I do wonder if like Alex Mappa or Jermaine Fowler had made it to the stage, I wonder if they would have felt similarly to you, Beth. That was like, well, since I already know the punchline of the story, you know, then maybe there's other things that I'm considering in the judging. But but no, I thought he was a good guest judge. And I think that he's someone who like literally he's a producer. You know what I mean? Like he really understands the craft. And so I felt like he was really a good fit ultimately for the judging. But anyway, that's another point. OK. Oh, and her look. I don't have much to say. It's fine. I hate it.
It was cool. It was fine. It was probably, you know, second best to Raja, probably, because I understood what she was going on. Yeah.
I identified with this look very much because this is how I feel all the time. I feel like I look like a hot mess literally all the time. So this, when she came out looking like this, I was like, oh, it's me. Okay, cool.
I relate to this. I liked it when she had the dress tucked into her panties, but it still like all looked really put together and cute. Yeah.
Okay. So this didn't happen to me. It did happen to a past colleague of mine, but when she was interviewing for the job, she went to use the bathroom. When she came out, her suit dress was like tucked into her underwear in the back. Oh, no. And I'm so thankful that somebody brought her to the side. I was like, you need to go back into the bathroom right now. And like before, like there was like only a few people who saw that. I did not see that moment, but it is a legend of a story in her office. She was like, it was the worst interview of my life, but I got the job.
Oh, man, that's awkward. All right. Well, no job interviews here, but Eureka does secure the bag, get the job, get the win in the end. And then, of course, as we touched on, then the other four are just automatically in the bottom. And then, yeah, I mean, this whole like debating voting section just felt like such a foregone conclusion, especially because of all the other stuff that was in the episode earlier, Amon, because it was just like, well, Trinity's already talked about, I was already in the bottom. And then you get that heartbreaking moment of her on the couch being like, I was so close. I was so close. Just like, okay, you're putting it out in the past tense, which means you've already processed the fact that you are going home when the voting hasn't even happened yet.
Yeah, it certainly just gave them ammo to then just go ahead and send you home. Like, I mean, Eureka came up to her and said, look, I feel like you are being so, you've had this defeatist attitude this entire time, and I don't understand why. I was like, well, you should understand why. Like, it's Trinity. That's why. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're making it a lot easier for them to just go ahead and send you home because you already feel like you're going to go home. So at the very least, what you can do is understand the situation that you're in, realize, okay, they brought Eureka's ass back. This is a very like, you know, do or die situation for me, but I'm going to continue to be as, you know, as that same energy that I walked into that workroom after Eureka went home. I'm going to have that same energy this entire week. And I know that's easier said than done. I get it. I understand what it's like to like fight an uphill battle. I get it. But just don't give them any reasons to send you home, girl, because it's just not a good look. And she was like this from jump, from the very beginning when they started putting that stuff on the TV and we saw all the lip sync. She was just
exactly.
Yeah.
She was like, it's over. Like, this is such bullshit. And I'm like, girl, I get it. I understand. Like, you are finally here after so many years. You are finally back. I get it. I understand the pressure that you're putting on yourself. I understand the pressure that all of us are putting on you as Trinity Cable and Nate fans. I understand it, but don't wear it so much. you know?
Yeah.
It was almost from the moment that she got the critiques on the runway, I feel like. Because mm-hmm. she was the first one. And I think as soon as she started getting negative critiques, you can kind of see her face mm-hmm. become crestfallen. It was just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a pressure cooker competition like this, like, we'll never be able to fully appreciate like what goes on mentally. And it's so easy for us to be like, oh, she shouldn't have said anything. Well, we know that like that's her nature, is like she can't bottle that stuff up. Right.
Yeah.
And so I just generally feel like once again, this is one of the reasons why those of us who are Survivor fans didn't like the Edge of Extinction. It's like someone comes back at Final Five. Like it's one of those situations.
Chris Underwood.
Like, yes. Oh my God. What if Eureka wins?
Oh my God. No, I'm telling Puyi and I were listing winners. So we're trying to go through and like list winners of Survivor. Like just like, I don't know why, but anyway, I like was like, who won? And then I was like, oh, the third place, the guy who went out in third. Place.
Well, let's be honest. If Silky had come back.
I know, right?
And had won this challenge, we would have all been sitting there being like, you know what? This is a better Chris Underwood, though. This would have been a way better Chris Underwood story.
But I think she earned it, though. That's the point.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
And she earned that shit.
She earned it. She wasn't also just like, and by the way, Silky is just safe here at five. She doesn't even have to do the challenge. Like that's basically mm-hmm. what it would have been like if they had done like the Chris Underwood thing. I generally feel like though, this was too late in the game for a redemption. Even if they'd done it 1 week earlier, I think that there's the final four means something in Drag Race. It's the last challenge, that kind of thing. And I understand trying to mess with people like mentally for the sake of storytelling, but like for the sake of like, let's be honest too. I don't think Drag Race gives a damn about the legitimacy of their competition. Like, I don't think they give a shit about like fairness and being like, our competition is legit. And like, no, they don't give a shit about that or the authenticity of it or whatever. I think they care much more about like the storytelling aspect, mm-hmm. which is evident in how they choose to produce things. But I honestly think that like it would have been a better time to do it at Final Five and have a six queen come back. You know what I mean? That would have been much better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, sorry.
And Silky would have came back, man.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So. She would have won all those lip syncs.
And also, okay. I would have loved to have seen Silky's drag tie. I think that would have been really interesting.
I know. That's the hard part. Honestly, that's like one of the hard parts about the All-Star seasons is because like I think about I would have loved to have seen Jan's. I would have loved to have seen Pandora's. I would have loved to have seen Silky's. I would have let you know.
Yeah.
It's like I want to see the queens do all of them. But then also I do not want one of the competitions where it's like no one gets eliminated. Please never do that. No. Like please eliminate people. Anyway.
Always.
Okay. I'm fickle. I just want what I want. Okay, well, I did get what I wanted with Jada Essence Hall. Oh my God, she looked so good. And I was super mad at the Chiron for just saying season 12. I was like, I'm sorry, you mean season 12 winner?
Winner, baby.
As in the queen who has not been able to ever really be like celebrate her reign, and you didn't even put winner on there. Like, what in the fat hell is that?
They wrote it down wrong. They were like, GG Good, the winner of season 12. Oh wait. anyway, so Eureka is in this like big ass clown outfit, which the music, the like the serious music when she goes to get the lipstick of which one she's gonna choose to cut to her in that outfit, I literally laughed out loud. That was like the hardest I laughed. It was so funny.
She was wearing the clown nose and then went on the stage and she didn't have it on. Yeah. And then she put it on and then immediately took it out. Like it was a journey. That whole clown nose.
Quite a journey.
Had more of a storyline than like half the queens this season.
Yeah, well, I was trying to make it make sense with Good Golly Miss Molly. I was like, I guess. Does that go with a clown outfit?
I guess now it can. I don't know.
What was this choice in lip sync song though?
It's very strange. Like I don't know. I mean, I think that Jada definitely did what she could with that song. I feel like deep down she might be having some of the same feelings that Cameron.
I
I wouldn't blame her.
Because what is going on here? Like, why are we doing this song? But I mean, you know.
If they had done it for like Kennedy Davenport, who did Little Richard as her Snatch Game, for example, that may have made more sense. But right. I did love, I can't remember which one of the queens said it, but when the curtain was rising, they were like, Jasmine Masters?
Wait, everyone knows Jasmine Masters, lip sync assassin, who lip synced once and went home.
No, I just remember the Christmas special. She had that bag over her head and she was like dancing with the bag over her head.
That was some fun drama from what I understand too, because like she wanted to leave.
Yeah.
There were conspiracy theories that it wasn't actually her.
Yes, right. And that was why they had the like cover over, like she had the cover over her head, is because it was like a body double or something like that. I think I have that video somewhere. Anyway, I don't remember what we're talking about.
Good golly, Miss Molly. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. It was a weird choice of lip sync song. It was an even weirder choice of lip sync outfit for Eureka.
Yeah, every time they choose songs by male artists, there's always like a raised eyebrow. But I think that
wait, can somebody please do Good Golly Miss Molly, but with this video instead? Like if this was the lip sync.
If you're watching the video version of the podcast, I have pulled up the GIF of Jasmine Masters that I've saved.
To the credit of those conspiracy theorists, it kind of does not look like her.
Maybe it's like, not. I don't think
she moves like that. Like,
if she had done the hop thing she did in that dress, like I'd be like, okay, that's definitely or like a hop to stand thing. Sorry,
this looks like some random black LA queen that they just grabbed.
Those don't look like her legs.
Right, like that's what it is. Like it doesn't. It she looks, and not that this person looks big by any stretch of the imagination, but Jasmine is so thin. She's so skinny, and this person does not look like that. I don't know. I just it just looks weird.
Okay, I think if 3 years later we need to launch an investigation into this, so we'll get back to y'all. But anyway.
I mean, Jasmine has never come out and said that it wasn't her. Which it feels like if there's anybody that's gonna blow the lid on production, it seems like Jasmine Masters would. But maybe she wants another check. I don't know.
We'll never know. Okay, yes, so we get Good Golly Miss Molly on that choice, and then the winner is both, and then I was like, they both picked Trinity. Was my thought. I was like, they are not gonna send home.
I didn't like that.
That seemed unnecessary, and it felt so unnecessary to make Eureka like, if you want the drama of making Eureka send home her like flirt mans, which by the way, the whole Eureka coming up to Trinity being like, I appreciate how much you value me. Oh my God.
That was lovely.
That was so amazing. I love that. I love that she felt comfortable to share it. I love that that was something that was talked about. I just like, it was very heartwarming to me.
And that's why they did that. That's why they made Eureka do it.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
They wanted us to think that, oh, there's a possibility. Either they wanted us to think there's a possibility that she could stay. Or they just wanted like the drama of the juxtaposition of conversation. Like, oh my God, you were just yesterday telling me how much you mean to me, and now all of a sudden you're sending me home. And then, I don't know.
It was going to be either Trinity or Eureka who goes home based on if Eureka doesn't win, she gets sent home. So that conversation would have been Trinity. Like, oh, I had to vote for Eureka. You know what I mean? Like,
it would have just been so much better if they would have like sent home Ginger or Raja. I'm just like,
wouldn't that have been a gag?
From a storytelling aspect, like, come on. Like, at this point, like, I would have, like if Raja would have got sent home, I would have been pissed. But you could not tell me that was not good TV. Like, I'd be so pissed the hell off. Like, I would cancel the show. But I'd be like, damn, bitch, they did what they need to do. You know what I mean? That's what you need to do. And it's not like there aren't still suitable winners. You know, like you still have Ginger there. You still have Sonique there. So it's not like losing Raja or losing Ginger or losing Sonique is like the end of the world. It's like gut wrenching. But like whoever wins will still probably deserve it. So
yeah,
they should have just sent out like Eureka messed up here. She should have sent somebody else home.
Yeah. Totally. Well, then it wouldn't have been a double win.
But that's my also point too. Like, high production, stop making like, oh, it's a double. Then two people have to fuck off. We all know that you do that when they're like, it's the same lip sync choice, choice. Like, it does not, it doesn't have that drama anymore. The only time it had drama was the first time you did it, which was when Fifi O'Hara went home in All Stars 2.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Like, I dare you. I dare you.
Brad. I dare you to send two home.
Send two queens home. I want to see it. Like, but stop.
Yeah, why not? We've had a final three before. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when did we start having a final four? Like, not
season nine.
Not long season ago, nine. But yeah, season nine, right? That's so yeah, fine, whatever. And it just felt like such a nail in the coffin, like stab in the front and the back to Trinity of like, hey, so you know how you're down on yourself? Well, all the other queens send you home. Oh, and your best friend sent you home. The queen. Okay, bye. But I thought she took it well. I mean, the untucked moments with her being very heartfelt was like, I really appreciate Trinity. And I was probably the most excited for her to come back. Uh-huh. And she did not disappoint. I am so happy that she was back on my television screen. I'm so happy that she said, you haven't seen the last of me. So I hope that World of Wonder takes her up on that, brings her back for something, because I thought she was just a really great
For the Vegas show, bring me. I'm like, and it's a no-brainer. Of course, bring Trinity K. Bonet. Yeah. Like, she's a fantastic performer. There is no reason that she should not be offered any and every show. Just give it to her.
Give the world.
Agree.
I would stay away from Murray and Peter Present. They're that's shady. Wouldn't do them, but you know, the other ones go for it. Voss, go for it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. That's it, guys. Next week, we are going to know the winner of RuPaul Drag Race All Stars Season 6 when they collab on This Is Our Country, which seems like a country music song, which, by the way, I think the four queens are all country.
They're all Southern,
right? Southern queens. Girls. Yes. So it is very fitting to have.
Oh, wow. Song. Yeah. Yes, they are. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm surprised at the choice, but I think it works with the makeup of the queens that we have left. Maybe that's why they needed to get rid of Trinity. Because where's Trinity from?
She's from Texas.
Yeah, right? She's from Atlanta.
I thought she was from the Georgia area.
She's from the South. We'll say she's generally from the South. It's either Atlanta or Texas, somewhere in between, you know.
Oh my God. This is like the same thing. We're like, yeah, she's a Pisces.
Well, and then it turns out she's like adjacent. She's like, oh, she's from Oklahoma. Enough. Oh, okay. Close enough. You know,
Close enough.
What I have to say is that there's been a lot of like really good rhetoric online about why people are so passionate about any one of the four winning, right? I am personally, I will be happy with pretty much it. Even Eureka, who I don't believe, like I'm somebody who's like, if you were voted out and brought back in, I on principle, I feel like maybe you shouldn't win. But like, I also fully, like, I'm not so invested that I like will damage my mental health thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like, there are people who are like really intense about that kind of stuff. But I think that all four queens represent a first in some capacity. Like, we would have, in my opinion, Raja has like the best redemption arc of all time. Like, that would be such an epic win for her to win the crown. Ginger and Eureka would represent two big girls, like, to be the first one to take the crown. And Sonique would be the first trans person to take the crown. Yeah. So I think that there are wonderful things about the identity portion. And so I think the rhetoric should celebrate that, but we shouldn't be tearing down people's opinions on why they think other people should win and their preferences, which I'm seeing a lot of that too, which is honestly like, let people like who they like. Like, all four queens have done great in this competition. They all represent great things and they're not tearing each other down. So why are we? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have a group of queens that, like, I'm happy if any of them win. I really would be. I think that they've all done about equal in terms of the competition. I mean, yeah, Eureka's got the little bit of a black mark with the being eliminated, but because it was kind of a little bit of a, like, right back in revolving door, but, you know, the opposite way. I think that
ultimately doesn't impact her maybe as much as I thought it would. Mm-hmm. But if I'm reading the edit, I feel Raja is going to win. That's the edit reading of me. But I think all of them, I could easily see a justification and a case being made for any of them to win.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think?
I've been super, super excited for Raja. Like, whenever I found out she was coming back, I was like, oh my God, yes. So I hope.
I drafted her. So
I don't know. I'm feeling like this might go to Kylie. I'm feeling a little Kylie energy here. I mean, I drafted both of them, so yeah. I guess.
Yeah, meanwhile, for draft purposes, I am purely going for Ginger. I have Ginger in both my drafts. So I mean, I would love Ginger to win. We all know I love Ginger, but I truly do think that Raja deserves this. I think that for me, it goes Raja, Ginger, Kylie, Eureka in that order.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Yeah. I'm actually genuinely like so excited to see. I'm really looking forward to this. I really want to know what happens, and I'm excited to see all their final performances. So I think overall this has been a really good season that I've enjoyed. And also just to fact check, apparently Trinity K. Bonet was born in Florida, but was living in Atlanta, Georgia before competing on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, there we go. Aman comes through with the facts.
Facts. Okay. That's it. We're done. Let's get out of here. We'll see you all next week. Beth, where can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
You can find me at AugustaWind11 on all my social medias, including for those watching the video, you get it. For those listening, just another bad conspiracy theory video popping up. But you can find me at AugustaWind11 on all my social media, including my Twitch channel. I'm still doing hot mess moments in my weekly meltdown.
Amon, how about you?
You can find me everywhere at Amon Adwin, still doing Harry Potter readings on Twitch.
And you follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I'm getting back together with Mike Bloom. We're going to do another RHAP B&B for the BB23 season to cover some fun things. I alluded to this earlier, not alluded. I genuinely told you earlier, but my mom gave me some hints for a game. And so I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So I highly recommend you check it out if you are a Big Brother fan. Okay. If you want to support us, become a patron. Okay. You know how to do it. Patreon.com/RHAP. It's almost the beginning of a month. It might be the beginning of the month. September, baby. So become a patron. Anyway. Okay. That's it. I'm tired. Star ratings and reviews on iTunes for oppositewebsite.com/RAGRACE. Thank you, Scott, for all your help behind the scenes. And we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.